So we now ask Brother Alec to come forward and speak upon the blessings of the tribes Zebulun and Issachar. Alec.
Well, good evening, dear brothers and sisters. Before I speak particularly on Zebulun and Issachar, I do have a few general remarks. I'd like first to consider the word bless, because it depends on the context as to how we understand it. God blesses his people when he bestows on them some gift, temporal or spiritual. Example, Genesis 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. End of Job, it is recorded, So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. We bless God when we thank and praise him for his mercies. We have Psalm 145 and verse 2, Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. A man blesses himself when he invokes God's blessing or rejoices in God's goodness to him. Example we have in Psalm 49, verse 15. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. One person blesses another when he expresses good wishes or offers prayer to God for his welfare. We have an example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Sometimes blessings were uttered under divine inspiration. We find this in the case of Noah, Isaac, Jacob, and Moses, we're considering this evening. The priests were divinely authorized to bless the people. For example, Numbers 6, verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee, The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. And we have many examples of apostolic benediction, such as 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. We see then that there are two distinct applications of the word blessing. God blesses his people, bestowing on them some benefit, and his people bless God by rendering thanks or praise, the same word being used to express both thoughts. Again, we read, the less, or the inferior, is blessed of the better, or the superior. And though in this instance refers to Melchizedek blessing Abraham, the same thing is true respecting God and his creatures. In bestowing favours, God is the only one who can bless. We can say, God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. But the same verse says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by this we mean, Thanks be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This signification is further made clear by the records of the institution of the Lord's Supper. In Matthew and Mark, the Lord took bread and blessed. In Luke and in Corinthians, he took bread and gave thanks. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. This is God blessing us, and for which we, in return, bless God by giving thanks with praise and with worship. So we turn our attention to Genesis 49, and we read in verse 1, Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. No doubt Jacob's thoughts went back to the blessings he had received from his father Isaac, once when dressed deceitfully as Esau. Genesis 27, And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And again, as Isaac sent him away in search of a suitable bride, Genesis 28, And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. More important was the response from God to him personally as he watched the vision of the angels ascending and descending the stairway. Genesis 28, verse 13, And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Jacob's intention, therefore, is to encourage his sons to acknowledge those promises, that they were of divine origin, and to keep them alive in their minds. What he wanted to convey to his sons was their sense of identity, whose they were, and what was to be their destiny. And we ponder Jacob's reference, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. This phrase and the latter days are expressions that occur some 15 times in the Old Testament, the majority of which speak either of the last days of the independent Israelite kingdoms or the last days of Gentile times. When we consider the subsequent events and the allocation of territory to the tribes, we think we can say with confidence that these last days did not refer to the end of the national kingdom. Some modern translations suggest days to come, but this is not conclusive. Jacob may well have been familiar with God's prophecy to Abraham that his seed would sojourn in a foreign land for a period of 400 years, coming out from the trial with great substance, to return to the land covenanted to the fathers. His thoughts then would be upon their subsequent experiences in the land, and any interpretation of the blessings should not involve events prior to the days of Joshua. So we come to verse 13 of Genesis 49. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Zebulun was the youngest of Jacob's sons through Leah. As a prophetic report, it is very brief, yet is precise. The account of the territory allotted to Zebulun is given in Joshua 19, verses 10 to 16, which details the 12 cities with their villages that it encompassed, many of which have been identified. Zebulun means dwelling, and our verse indicates a location at the haven of seas. Zebulun possessed a small but very fruitful district in the north of the land. On the east, it included part of the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and on the west, it touched on the Mediterranean by means of Carmel, part of which mountain was assigned to it, thus fulfilling the prophetic declaration of Jacob, which we have just read. Nazareth, Cana, and Tiberias were within its borders. The later inhabitants of this region were highly favoured in beholding the miracles and the gracious teachings of our Lord Jesus, and from among them were selected most of his disciples and apostles. What is certain is that Zebulun occupied an area between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea, but with a limited coastline south of Carmel. The study of maps shows that there is divergence of opinion regarding boundaries. One that I have shows that Zebulun has no sea coast, but reached only to within approximately 7 miles of the Mediterranean Sea in the west, and approximately 7 miles from the Sea of Galilee in the east. Asher is allocated territory along the coast to the west, and Naphtali had territory to the east and north, encompassing Galilee. Jezreel, however, was a very fertile area, and no doubt had good trading possibilities crossing the borders in both directions. With one notable exception, little is recorded regarding Zebulun. Remote from the centre of government, Zebulun remained throughout the history, with one exception, in the obscurity that enveloped the whole of the northern tribes. That exception, however, is a remarkable one, and this related to their conduct during the struggle with Sisera, when they fought with desperate valour side by side with their brethren of Naphtali. It was such as to draw down the special praise of Deborah, who singles them out from all the other tribes in her song, Judges chapter 5 and verse 18. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. Elon, the Zebulunite, was the only leader given by the tribe to Israel of whom we have any record, and that's Judges chapter 12 and verse 11. 50,000 single-hearted warriors, capable and well-equipped, supported David at Hebron, and from their rich land they brought stores of provisions. The tribal leader over Zebulun in David's time was Ishmael, son of Obadiah. Verse 14. Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Issachar was the ninth son of Jacob and the fifth of Leah, Zebulun's next elder brother. His territory included part of the beautiful valley of Jezreel, the mountains Tabor, Little Hermon, and Gilboa, and several rich plains bordering the Jordan. The extent of his territory was about 47 miles in length and 26 in breadth. In its centre were portions that belonged to the half-tribe of Manasseh. Josephus attests that the heritage of this tribe was fruitful to admiration, abounding in pastures and nurseries of all kinds, so that it would make any man in love of husbandry. The people were distinguished for their industry and agricultural pursuits, to which the prophetic words of Jacob point. 16 cities of Issachar are mentioned in Joshua 19, but the only identifiable boundaries are Tabor in the north and Jordan in the east. We gather elsewhere that the territory of this tribe bordered on the north with Zebulun and Naphtali, on the west with Manasseh and possibly Asher, and on the south with Manasseh. It does not seem to have had any point of contact with the sea. The portion of Issachar, therefore, included the plain of Esdraelon, Tabor, the hill of Moreh, and the slopes east to the Jordan. The fortresses along the south edge of the plain were held by Manasseh. No reliable line can be drawn for the southern border. The district thus indicated was small, but it embraced some of the most beautiful land in Palestine. By the very riches of the soil, Issachar was tempted. He saw a resting place that it was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant under task work. Issachar also took part in that battle with Sisera. Of the 200 heads of the men of Issachar who came to David at Hebron, it is said that they were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. According to the Targum, this means that they knew how to ascertain the periods of the sun and moon, and intercalculation of months, the dates of solemn feasts, and could interpret the signs of the times. A company from Issachar came to the celebration of the Passover when it was restored by Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles chapter 30. The only man from the tribe of Issachar to lead Israel as judge was Tola. He held Shamir, a stronghold in Mount Ephraim. Two men from Issachar led Israel as king, Baasha and his son Elah. Moses also gathered the people for a similar blessing exercise, and we find this in Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. So verse 18. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and treasures hid in the sand. The mountain in here referred to was probably Tabor, on which, most likely, there was an ancient sanctuary and a place of pilgrimage. This would certainly be associated with a market in which Issachar and Zebulun, with the adjoining tribes, would be able to enrich themselves by trade with pilgrims from afar. Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. In their going out to sea, to merchandise, to traffic in foreign parts, it being a maritime tribe, and so are called upon to rejoice and be thankful for their safe preservation on the seas and success in trade and war. And Issachar in thy tents, being a tribe that stayed at home and attended to husbandry and dwelt in tents, to take care of and feed their cattle, in doing which they should be prosperous and have occasion to rejoice and be thankful to the Lord. Treasures hid in the sand. It is noteworthy that the sand of these coasts is especially valuable in the manufacture of glass, which was a precious thing in ancient times. The murex from which the highly prized purple dye was extracted here. So the words of Genesis 49 verse 28 bring our thoughts to a conclusion. All these are the tribes of Israel, 12. They contain the thought that in his 12 sons, Jacob blessed the future tribes, Every one with that which was his blessing, he blessed them. Every one with his appropriate blessing, since, as we may observe, even Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, though put down through their own fault, received a share in the promised blessing. We likewise look forward to a greater blessing through the work of the greater Son of David, the Son of Judah, the Son of Jacob.